With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome to College Basketball Today. Today's date, November 19th, episode 4 of College Basketball Today. And let's get started with our starting lineup. With a big injury in Darren Peterson. Right now, people, according to ESPN, have him as the number one draft pick. Darren Peterson is out for the foreseeable future with a hamstring strain that he's been dealing with from the start of the season. You got to realize that, you know, Darren Peterson only played 3 minutes in the second half of game number one. Obviously, he had the big performance against North Carolina in game number two. So now when you look at Darren Peterson, is he's dealing with a hamstring injury that started before the game start. So here's the thing you look at, and we've talked about a lot about Cam Boozer, obviously, and A.J. DeBanjo, who we'll talk about both of those guys because they had big matchups over the last couple of days. But there's a top three right there. So you have to start looking at is, do we even see Darren Peterson come back? You got to figure out the hamstring is a tricky injury. And it's one that if he comes back too early and then he, you know, pulls it again or tears it, we're talking about weeks, not months. And we've seen it a little bit in college football, folks, when some of these star players that are high draft picks don't play in bowl games or even the tournament or, you know, the championship series because of injuries and worried about draft stock. Something to watch out for. A guy that got off to a good start, though, I think is the most pro-ready player in the guard position, Darren Peterson, out for the foreseeable future with a hamstring injury. And I will say this, do not be surprised if Darren does not make it back at all for the season. They hold him out. Let's get to the game that Darren Peterson missed. Doubleheader at MSG. There's one that took place last night. There's one that's going to be in a couple of weeks. But the nightcap was a 78-66 win over the Duke Blue Devils over Kansas. When you look at Duke, you got to look at Cam Boozer. 18 points. The Bruiser, I may call him. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. I know he shot the ball 1 of 4 from 3, you know, but he's showing his ability to really be a different player than his dad, a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more athletic that obviously Cam is than of Carlos. But you kind of look at it as well. Evans, you know, someone that's been around for a little bit, 16 points. Low scoring game, partially because if you're Kansas, you got to slow the game down. So who played well for Kansas? That's Trey White. Trey White, really 7 of 13 from the floor, 22 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. So you look at Trey White as someone that has had of experience. This is a guy, ready folks, 4 years, 4 schools, right? USC, Louisville, Illinois, and obviously now with Kansas. He's going to have to take a lot of the scoring acumen for Kansas. A Kansas team, folks, that, let's be honest, the next week when we do this show, Kansas, a perennial blue blood, may not be ranked in the top 25. Let's get to the other game in the Classic. And that was the opening game. And what a resounding win by Tom Izzo at Michigan State, 83-66 over Kentucky. When we previewed this team, and you talk about Cone, and you obviously talk about Cam Ward, the freshman, has been really good. I sat here before the season, and I said the key to them is Jackson Kohler. If Jackson Kohler could be that double-double threat and provide inside presence, that is going to give Tom Izzo what he needs with the perimeter play. Well, Jackson Kohler was the best player on the floor. 20 points, 8 of 12 from the floor, 2 of 2 from 3, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Playing better than Ortega away, a guy that we can consider to be a lottery pick. We all held him only 12 points, 4 rebounds, 4 of 12 from the floor. For a long time, I've sat there and I've said there's no better in-game coach than Tom Izzo. I don't think there's no better tactician than Tom Izzo. And usually with Tom Izzo, we talk about his teams playing well in March. And he loads up his schedule to win in March. But what do you do when Tom Izzo wins in November? And that's what they're doing. They're setting themselves up to be the top dog, possibly with Illinois, against Purdue in the Big Ten. A Big Ten that we've talked about being down. But with Illinois, Michigan State playing great basketball, and obviously Purdue being arguably the best team in the country, you could say three of the top 10, 12 teams in the country could be coming out of the Big Ten. And we haven't even talked about what Indiana's done so far to start this year, right? New coach. And obviously what Iowa is doing. Watch out for the Big Ten. Basketball is back in the heartland. Let's go to the women's game, because I think we saw the great and the not great of Hannah Hidalgo. And when we previewed Notre Dame last week, we talked about what she was going to have to do for this program. Losing Olivia Miles, losing Sonia Citron, losing Kylie Watson, and giving everything to her to handle. So she goes out and gives you 44 points, 16 of 25, 3 out of 6, in 28 minutes. And the big stat, 16 steals in 28 minutes. Folks, some guards don't get 16 steals in a month. And this kid got you 16 in one game. But when we saw the great Hannah, we saw a really poor performance and a 4 for 21, 12-point performance, 7 turnovers, and I think it was a 93-69 loss to Michigan. And shout out to Kim Barnes, who's one of the best coaches in the country. He's done a great job at Michigan for a long time. He used to be at St. John's. But we need to start having talks about some of these programs that I think could be underachieving. Notre Dame's one of them. The other one is Duke. And we'll get to them in a buzzer beater, because I have to address what happened in that game. But Hannah Hidalgo is going to be fine. The problem with Hannah is Hannah needs help. Let's jump back to the men's game. A big matchup Saturday night in Boston, as the hometown kid that goes to school in Utah and went to high school in Utah, that's AJ DeBanta, came back to home. He's from Massachusetts. And in an exciting 86-84 win by the UConn Huskies. And people have talked about, well, UConn had not played anybody. Oh, well, they just did. And they were winning this game going away until a great comeback by BYU. And Coach Young has done a great job at BYU making this team a contender. And AJ DeBanta was the goods with 25 points, 8 out of 14 from 4, 6 rebounds, 2 steals. But I said to people that they were going to wear them down. Now, I almost caught up to him. Alex Caravan looks like he's been in school for 45 years with 21 points, 8 of 11 from the floor. Dan Hurley's team is primed for a run for a national championship. But the way BYU could score, they can get enough stops, they'll be there as well. Let's end to the women's side, because they're back. And that's TCU, a team that I've told people that was going to be a sleeper team. Got a big 69-59 win as Mark Campbell takes out Westmore again. in a ranked-versus-ranked matchup. And this was the game last year that sprung TCU to that big season. I'm telling you this right now. Mark Campbell's one of the five best coaches in the country. He doesn't get the recognition that he deserves. And he took out one of the best in Wes Moore. Olivia Miles wasn't great. Neither was Zoe Brooks from NC State, the two Jersey girls. But you know who was? Marta Suarez. And I'm going to tell you this right now. TCU has got like four pros. They hit in the transfer portal. They don't miss. Coming up next, we'll get into our future focus. We'll look at the two stud freshmen of Houston. We'll take a look at Caleb Wilson and a couple of teams when we come back after this commercial break. Welcome back to College Basketball Today, Episode 4. And it's time to get into our future focus as we focus on some players and some teams. Let's start with the number one ranked Houston Cougars. A Houston Cougars team that I don't think is playing at their best basketball so far, but they got a dynamic duo in the backcourt. One we know and one we're learning about really quickly. Now let's start with the one we know in Emmanuel Sharp, the sharpshooter. The guy is not afraid to take the big shot. Up to 16.3 points per game, shooting at 44.9% from the floor, 37% from three, getting you 4.3 rebounds, 1.8 assists. When you think about Emmanuel Sharp, when you think about that game he had against Duke, where he was absolutely sensational from three, this is the big shot taker, the big shot maker. And when you look at Emmanuel, he's going to have to be that guy. But you know who's starting to become a guy, even though they also have Milos Yuzon in the backcourt? That's Kingston Flemings. The stud freshman has been the goods, leading the team in scoring at 17.3 points per game, shooting at 40% from three and 69.2% from two. And when you really think about this Houston Cougars team with Sharp, with Flemings, with Yuzon, with Tugler, you also have to think about one other person of note, and that's Chris Sinak. 6'11 monster is getting you 10.8 points, 9 rebounds a game. Houston is going to be dangerous, and they could win the national championship. The funny thing is the big problem with Houston is their defense. And it was an interesting quote that I saw from Kelvin Sampson after that big win that they had over the weekend over Auburn, were basically saying that Kingston and Chris Sinak are basically responsible for giving up as many points as they are scoring. And I want people to understand what that means. As a coach, if your kid gives you 20, but is responsible for 22 points, that's a minus two. It's not good. So, to me, what I love about what Kelvin Sampson is doing is he's holding these young kids to the fire. They're scoring, but they're not playing the Houston way, the Kelvin Sampson way, the way that I've seen this program go from the ashes to being arguably one of the best programs in the country is they rely on their defense. And I'm going to say this right now, and I agree with Coach Sampson. I don't care how many points these kids score. If you're responsible for the same amount or more giving up than you're scoring, are you really helping your team win at the end of the day? Speaking of helping his team win, Caleb Wilson has off to a great start as a stud freshman for Hubert Davis, scoring at about 20.6 points per game at 10 rebounds, shooting 67% from the floor, and 43% from three. And when you think about this UNC team, a team that's ranked number 18 in the country at record time, and you look at that performance that he had in that 87-74 win over Darren Peterson and Kansas is at the Dean Dome, he was outstanding shooting, going for 24, 7, and 4, and 9 of 11 from the floor. It's almost like Caleb looked around and said, talking about Armet, you're talking about Sinak, you're talking about Flemings, you're talking about DeBanza, talking about Boozer, talking about Corey Pete after his performance versus Florida. And he's sitting there saying, well, what about me? Well, what do I have to do? I want someone, people to understand something. When you get a chance, go look at the last 50 years of North Carolina, probably from the early 80s, so about 40 years, and tell me how many kids scored 20 points per game in North Carolina in a season. Folks, it may be on one hand. And you're talking about a program that had Jordan, that had Doherty, that had Worthy, that had Kenny Smith, that had Stackhouse, that had Rasheed Wallace. I could go on. I'm missing like 20 guys. Antoine Jameson, Vince Carter. They ain't never got guys to get 20 a night. So if this kid's giving you 21 and 10, 21 and 11, and he can shoot it at over 60% from the floor and 40% from three, this guy can not only lead the prominence of UNC, especially with Seth Dribble out with an injury, and that freak accident. I'll tell you one more. Hubert Davis. This kid may save your job. Speaking of jobs, we got to spend a minute talking about what Pat Kelsey is doing at Louisville. That team is off to a 4-0 start after their big win in the Bluegrass Battle last week versus Kentucky. And I want to say it like this. Chucky Hepburn graduated their best player. They were, in my opinion, the worst, and I mean the worst, power school team, power four team, with Kenny Payne 2 years ago. And they went from the worst team as a power team in the entire nation to arguably a Final Four team in 2 years. I don't think people understand this. If you got the right coach and you hit on the portal, something that Mark Campbell's doing at TCU on the women's side, you can make up ground and make up ground really, really fast. Let's end this segment talking about the old guard in regards to coaching, and that's Mark Few. To me, when you look at best coaches to not win a national championship, it's Kelvin Sampson. And it's Mark Few, in my opinion. There's other guys, too. Rick Barnes comes to mind. Matt Painter comes to mind. But to me, the two best have never won it are Kelvin Sampson and Mark Few. And he continues to do it at Gonzaga year after year after year. And what they've done is they've combined freshman play with transfers and with that guy right there, Graham Ike. Let me tell you something. It don't matter where they are, what league they stay in the WCC, or if they ever move, they're always going to be a player when it comes time in March. Great job by Mark Few. Coming up next, we'll get to the fastest 4 minutes of basketball. We'll talk about a couple of big matchups next week as we wrap up college basketball today after this commercial break. Welcome back to College Basketball Today, and it's time to get into the fastest 4 minutes of college basketball talk, and that's your Final Four, previewing four matchups to take place over the next week. And let's lead off, it's Feast Week coming up, so you'll see a lot of big games being played starting next week and this weekend. And let's start off with a big matchup in the top 20 between Rick Pitino and St. John's and T.J. Oshenberger and Iowa State. This will be a big matchup in the Players Era Festival. When you look at St. John's, you have to look at the play of Zubi Echefor, who's been absolutely fantastic, 18.3 points, 7.3 rebounds. Key thing, Zubi is now showing the ability to knock the ball, shoot the ball from the elbow and from the top of the key from three. So that's a big matchup for Zuby in regards to what he's got to do. So look for that big matchup. And when you look at the other side with obviously Lynn Lipsey, obviously can score the ball, 19 points per game. What I'm looking for here in this matchup is these two teams that could score the ball, they're more known for the defense. We haven't seen their defense come to play the way we're accustomed to. I'm looking to see what team steps up. I know Rick Pitino was very upset after the Alabama game and also upset with the way that they played in the first half versus William & Mary in their last game. They turned it on. T.J. Osterberger's team should be ready to go as well. Big matchup between St. John's and Iowa State. Next matchup, big one. Contrasting styles. Alabama, Gonzaga. Alabama is as good as they are at getting you to play at their pace. In regards to, obviously, you know, looking at Filion and Aiden Holloway, Filion getting you 19.3 points per game. And then you look at the other side, it's going to be more about the bigs. Graham Ike at 17 points per game, 9 rebounds, 2.4 assists. Can Mark Few slow down Nate Oates' guards? And I think that is going to be the key matchup here, because although obviously Gonzaga is fantastic offensively, they're secretly good defensively. And they seem to beat people up defensively. We saw what they did last year to Vijay Edgecombe and Baylor. Obviously, they had their big win to begin their season. I forget who it was, but they beat them by like 40. So we'll see a big matchup in two top 15 teams and two of the best coaches in the country in Mark Few, Gonzaga Bulldogs, and Nate Oates in the Alabama Crimson Tide. Next matchup will be an interesting test. And that's Syracuse versus Houston. Why do I say this? Because thank God for Adrian Autry, who's got out of the Jimmy Boeheim, actually leave New York to play somebody, as they're going to take on Houston. And I think this is a good matchup for, we'll get to see Kyan Anthony, who's looked really good so far, about 15 points a game. But Syracuse just came off of just beating Monmouth by 5, only up 3 with about 30 seconds left to go, 20 seconds left to go, last possession, versus the Houston team that's not defending at the level that we have seen yet out of Kelvin Sampson's crew. This is a big spot for Syracuse. If they can win this game, they'll put themselves into the top 20. Houston's trying to get themselves right defensively because they've actually shown a good ability to score. Big test for both teams next week. Let's go to the women's side. And we had the bluegrass battle, right, between Kentucky and Louisville on the men's side. Now we're going to the women's side. And I want to make sure I highlight, I'm always a coach first, folks, right? So I always want to talk about two guys that I respect as coaches that are men that are leading women, that are class acts. And that's my guy, Kenny Brooks at Kentucky, and the fabulous Jeff Waltz at Louisville. Both these gentlemen have done a great job. Jeff's been at Louisville for a long time. Kenny did a great job at Virginia Tech, now bringing Kentucky as a top 20 team. This is a sneaky good matchup, and I hope folks will get and watch that game that will take place on Saturday. Let's get to our buzzer beater, because I got to get this off my chest. Carol Lawson is now the coach of USA Basketball, and her team has put up two absolute stinkers offensively. 52 points versus Baylor opening game. And then a 57-49 loss to an unranked West Virginia, in which West Virginia had not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but 6 players thrown out. They were losing, and Duke proceeds to put up 49 points. Carol Lawson is a hell of a recruiter. She's got a lot of great players on that roster, but she needs help with fixing that offense. They defend great, but if she doesn't get that offense going, it doesn't matter how many All-Americans you got, they're not going to win, and the pressure is going to heat up for Carol Lawson. This has been College Basketball Today, Episode 4. For all things sports-wise, College Basketball, download the SportsGrid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game. Props, predictions, and more. For my producer, Matty George, please remember, folks, it's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Good night.